So thank you, everyone. And I'm going to go on a different route now, kind of away from the research to a quality improvement project that was really, even though it was a statewide project run by the state PCA, each health center really worked on their own individual projects that really met the need in the context of the health centers. So I have no relationships to disclose. And just to give you a little bit of background on CHCANES, Community Healthcare Association of New York State, it is New York State's primary care association, and the goal is to provide community health centers with the resources needed to provide high-quality, community-based primary care to anyone in need regardless of ability to pay. And FQHCs are non-for-profit community-based providers located in medically underserved areas, and you can see the map of New York State's FQHCs up there. And they provide high-quality, cost-effective, patient-centered primary and preventative health services to anyone seeking care. These numbers are 2013 numbers. And 74% of the patients are Medicaid beneficiaries or uninsured. Even though New York State is a Medicaid expansion state, there's still many reasons why patients remain uninsured in the state. And an estimated 86% of patients live at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. So these are just some of CHCANES' programs to give you an idea of the type of work that CHCANES does. I sat in the Quality and Technology Initiatives, Clinical Quality Improvement, but there's really a wide range of programs and support. And this is just to acknowledge our project team. We worked, it was actually a CDC grant, so thank you very much, Dr. Rice. but we worked with three different organizations, the New York State Department of Health, IPRO, who they're the New York State Medicaid Evaluation Agency, and then CHCANES. And this is our wonderful project team, and we wouldn't have been able to accomplish everything we did without them. So here are the project aim and goals. And so you can see we had three main goals: establishing the cancer screening registry, ensuring that at least 75% of FQHCs are actually connected to it, and then increasing breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer screening rates by a minimum of 5% over baseline by the end of year five. So something to keep in mind, when you project this 5% increase over the entire patient population that's served by CHCANES membership, it really represents a very large impact. The selection of 5% wasn't simply a matter of us setting our sights low, but we came up with that percentage based on a consideration of what level of improvement would be achievable across all practices, keeping in mind that some have much greater capacity than others. So here are our project components. This was the first cohort of 12 FQHCs that I'll be talking about today, but the project design is for four cohorts. And the second cohort is currently underway, and planning and initial, some of the pre-work has begun for three and four, which will run concurrently. The pre-work consisted of the data warehouse setup and integration, a data validation project, someone mentioned chart abstractions, we did a lot of those as well, and compared those to the data warehouse output, and then a workflow assessment that was filled out by health centers as project teams. We had a learning collaborative setup using the breakthrough series model that occurred over 12 months. Each health center did plan, do, study, act cycles, as well as a couple of other activities that I'll mention in just a minute. And then sustainability and spread. Post-collaborative, health centers have continued to work internally, as well as receive support from CHCANES and some of the partner organizations around sustainability and spread. And evaluation activities were ongoing throughout all steps of the project and include both qualitative and quantitative components. So here you can see the different types of touches we had with each FQHC. There were three in-person meetings. The kickoff meeting was individualized at each health center, and the mid-year and year-end were as a group where all 12 came together. There were six collaboration calls or webinars over the 12 years of the project, and those again were as a group virtually, and then team coaching calls, which were individual and over the phone. And in between each of the CHCANES touches with each health center, there were action periods where the individual health centers would continue their quality improvement work internally. So this is just to give you an idea of our Center for Primary Care Informatics. This was the data warehouse. It's much more complicated than this, but just to give you a quick idea of how the data gets in and out of there. So it connects to all, I think there are 14 EMRs in New York State, and it connects to all of them. So there's the initial EHR pull. And the data validation process that we did actually helped us identify any issues from here or our second step, the data mapping and harmonization, where the data is normalized across all of the different EMRs and integrated into the system. And finally, the data is available in CPCI Frontend, which is a web-based reporting platform that's accessible from any major browser. So that's, I think, one of the pluses of this system. So this might be a little hard to read, but this is our change package, or one page of the change package that really helped guide this project. So the main components are first the change strategy. So there were four change strategies. This is the policy for cancer screening, since we're talking about policy today. But the others were tracking and monitoring, provider recommendations, and practice reminder systems. So these are the big buckets and topics that the further strategies would fall under. Then there were change ideas. You can see that the policy for cancer screening only has one. The others had two or three, and these are just getting a little more specific about what we're trying to address. And then finally, the improvement strategies. And these are specific evidence-based strategies for improving cancer screening rates that health centers could choose and then tailor improvement to their health centers. And so we had each health center working on at least three improvement strategies at any one time. And that helped guide the work that they did. And so again, you can see that each health center could really customize to their needs, and oftentimes they were working on very different types of projects at the same time, but still able to support each other. So now we're going to take a look at some of the final aggregate data, and after that we'll get a little into what a few individual health centers had done. So this is our trailing year monthly aggregate breast cancer screening rates. This data was run post-collaborative, and mapping changes for the CPCI between that and the EHRs were made throughout the year that impacted the screening rates when you look at them at real time. So this data that I'm presenting reflects those changes applied retrospectively across all months of the data. So the improvements you see more likely reflect policy and workflow changes implemented by health centers. So the data is fairly flat here for breast cancer and might be caused by a few things. Many health centers only had capacity to work on one screening at a time, we found, and many chose to work on colorectal cancer screening, and you'll see that's very evident in a couple of slides. Also, this is aggregate, and some health centers only focus changes initially on one or two sites. And so when you're looking at the data in aggregate, it doesn't tell as much of a story. And we'll get into a few of the health centers in just a minute. So here's the cervical cancer screening rate. Again, there were some small improvements across individual health centers, and the real-time data reflects a 4% increase in screening across the health centers. And so the average was probably the highest to begin with on this screening, and there continues to be work in this area that we'll see. And so finally, where we saw the greatest impact, this was really where health centers put most of their focus, as it was the area that most of them needed to improve from the beginning. And here we saw a 15.5% absolute increase, and even greater across some health centers. So now we'll get into a few individual health centers' policy changes to see what was behind the aggregate data and how improvements were made at individual health centers. So the first case study is around CPCI, our Center for Primary Care Informatics, and documentation. And something important to keep in mind here is that when data is mapped from the EMR into CPCI, it can only read what it's told. So we found that there were some issues between what was being entered and how that was being reflected in the numbers. And so this case study really talks about how the health centers worked on that. So this first health center had a really intense focus on ensuring the accuracy of their data. They had a new EMR that was implemented in 2012, and the file transfer between the two systems wasn't perfect, we'll say. And so they realized that they also needed to work on documentation in structured fields versus free text. They found that a lot of their providers were free texting some things, and CBCI wouldn't pick that up. And they needed to make sure that correct codes were being used by the providers or anyone else inputting these things into the EMR, and make sure then that the codes that were being used were actually mapped into the system. And you'll see in just a minute that they focus mainly on two sites, but because of kind of like a bleeding effect into the health center as a whole, just that focus did have an effect across the health center. And finally, there were issues documenting between things, or there were different issues between procedures that happened on site and things that were happening outside of the health center, and making sure that those documents first got sent back to the FQHC, and then once they were there, got documented in a way that could be read by the system was very important. So the key points for a new policy: if you don't document it, it never happened. So we can't increase screening, or we can do all we want to increase screening rates, but if it's not documented somewhere, we can't show what we're doing. And so it's really important that the data is being clean, that it's being documented correctly. But it's really also important that proper training happens for everyone who might be entering the information to ensure that these changes are really sustained after the initial changes are made. So once you have everyone doing the right thing, you need to make sure that you keep doing it over time. And finally, even if it doesn't make us look good, it's important to ensure that the data is accurate. So better data accuracy won't always mean better numbers. But that's the only way that real improvements can be made, and it's really essential for better care delivery. And it's important, as you're moving forward with data cleanup, that the culture understands this very important part of the process. So here is this health center's data for cervical cancer screening. Our kickoff was in February. And at that point, the QI/IT lead realized the extent of their data discrepancies between CPCI and the EMR, and really dove in to focus on that. And then there was some further focus later in the year as well. Colorectal cancer screening saw some similar trends. And finally, breast cancer screening, and this is what I was talking about, better data accuracy doesn't necessarily mean better numbers. But again, these are unintended consequences, but it is very important to accurately reflect what's happening in patient care. So this is my next case study, pre-visit planning and the use of tools. This is demo data, so nobody worry about HIPAA violations here. But this is just a screenshot of our pre-visit planning tool, and you can see it's the provider's schedule for the day for each patient they're seeing, and some essential alerts that can be customized by the health center. So this health center moved from pre-visit planning and log, or from a manual pre-visit planning and log to an automated version, and they really had some intense additional TA with the health center. So they worked on documenting reminders and standing orders as much as they could, and they really worked on ensuring that mid-level staff, nurses, and MAs were working at the top of their training. And this can cause some pushback we saw with providers, which is why it's really essential that attention is paid to team dynamics and ensuring that providers trust the rest of their staff and that these culture changes are backed up by policy. But once these pieces are in place, once these pieces are in place, it can take away a lot of the burden from providers to spend more time actually taking care of their patients, and it makes the entire system more efficient. And so we're talking here about clinical planning, not just administrative rounds. So it's not just who called in sick today, how many patients are on each provider's panel, but what are the essential things that this provider needs, or that this patient needs, even if they're coming in for a sore throat, do they need a PAP, do they need depression screening? And they were helped by an automated system, but if you don't have one, it doesn't mean you can't do this, and you can really take advantage of the tools that you have, and there are some tools out there that can be used. And so one thing to note is that this health center got some really intense additional TA after the end of the cohort year, and so I'm going to show you a little bit of that data as well. So they really worked on PAPS, as this was something that they could do in-house and increase screening by grabbing women when they came in for other things, as I mentioned. And so they lost their head QI person who was in institution there sometime in June. And so they didn't have much capacity until they hired someone on in September. And you can see that there were some slight improvements towards the end of the year there. But then, as I spoke of just earlier, they had some really intense additional TA. And here's some information from the quarterly periods after the Learning Collaborative ended. And they worked really hard through winter and spring developing policies. And then they really implemented in June around pre-visit planning, and you can see the impact there. So finally, fit kits. I know there's some controversy around this that we just got into. But as I mentioned, we have a really high-end insured population. And so they often didn't have access to colonoscopies. But again, their challenges that remain around education, distribution, and return. So this health center had a pilot at one site to improve distribution and tracking of fit kits. And their key points there was they had a script for kit distribution. They put a note in the EMR for the provider and the RN, and then had a reminder call about 3 to 5 days after the kit was given out, where that RN called each patient to see if they had forgotten to do it, if they were kind of squeamish about the fit kit, if they had any questions. And you can see the impact that that had here. So they had some early improvements due to documentation policy changes, but then there was a plateau where they really weren't going to see many more changes from documentation improvements. And then sometime in July and August, they started with that that RN call with all fit kits that were distributed, and they saw some really fantastic success. And you can see that red line is the health center as a whole compared to the blue line of the pilot site, and it's just amazing what they were able to accomplish with their own individual pilot. So some lessons learned. Staff buy-in is really important. You need the support of the people on the ground doing the work for any policy implementation to succeed. And so that means not just telling people that this is their new policy, but really getting them in from the beginning. Resources and staffing are always a problem for everyone. I'm sure that's not unique. And then every one of the successful policies was tried on a much smaller scale at one site or in one group before being spread institution-wide. And this really helps with buy-in when you already have a successful process. Again, data cleanup was a big part of the process. It's not everyone's favorite, but it's really important that everyone has faith in the numbers before we begin, and it's really an ongoing process. And finally, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, but it's also important to take creative suggestions from your own team members. The tracking system for fit kits started this way, and as we say in QI, you want to share senselessly and steal shamelessly. So next steps, continuing TA for cohort 1, cohort 2 is ongoing, and cohorts 3 and 4 will start in April with one-on-one practice facilitation. And I'll take your questions. I don't think so. That's one of the problems, especially with things like PAPS. We would go in and see that health centers had like 30 codes that people were putting in just for a PAP. And so part of the training was making sure that if there were 4 really essential ones, that everyone was using those 4. But there wasn't anything that the health center could do on their end. They could clean up the codes, but I think that there were some issues with other issues, unintended consequences that would happen from that. But there wasn't anything that we could do on our end to keep them from using additional codes. So the change package was just basically suggested strategies that they could use to improve their policies. So we had a couple of templates. We created that with the help of a QI consultant. And then we kind of gave that to the health centers and said, here are, you know, 40 things that you could do. Here are a few templates. What do you want to do? We can help you. Other health centers that have really refined their policies can help you. And so we did see a lot of going back and forth between the health centers, helping each other really refine their policies and processes.
Thank you.